Our scripture reading this morning is Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appears to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Luke 6:35-36. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this day. We thank you for those who've come out, God, to hear your word. And I ask that you touch the hearts and the minds of your people, that you'll open up their hearts to receive the word today, God, that it'll be a blessing to them. They'll take it, Lord, all week long and dwell on it, knowing that you are the lover of their souls. And we thank you, praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today I just want to thank God again for being here. I give him praise, honor, and glory for his mercy and his grace to me. And thank God for bringing me here to Broadway Christian. I'm just honored to be here today. This week I've been over here a couple of times during the week. And this week for the quilters gathering, they were here on Tuesday, I think it was, I ran into Brother Darrell. And we were in the fellowship hall, and we were just kind of talking about God and his goodness and all the wonderful things that he does. And he said something to me. He said, you don't have to work for God's love, is what he said. And it hit me, because I knew what I was preparing to bring today, that there's no greater love than God's love. And so when he shared that, I'm like, okay, that confirms to me this is the topic for the day. So I thank God for Brother Darrell and he just being so loving and sharing and talking with me. We had such a good conversation about God's love. And so that's what I want to talk about today. You know, it's not a new topic. It's not something that we, you know, haven't heard. We all know that God loves us. But sometimes I think we need to be reminded of his love. I think we need to be reminded to dwell on it. And that song I sing that song in the car to myself all the time when I'm driving. I sing that song because I want God to know I love him. He loves me. I love him. And he's made a difference in my life. And so I will just sing it. Like I said, I will burst into song many times. I will just burst into song. And generally it's songs of worship and praise to God because he's been very good to me. And so that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about there's no greater love than God's love. And not only that, but it's a kind of a two-parter. I first want to talk about God's love to us, and then I want to talk about our love to God and to others. So let's jump right in here with 1 John 4:10. And it says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And that's important to know. He loved us so much, he sent his son, his only begotten son, as the word says. John 3:16, it tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we need to know how much God loves us. God's love is unconditional for us. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to earn it. You can't do enough good deeds for God to love you. He already does. He already loves you. There's nothing you can do that's so bad that he will not love you. God loves us. And it's important that we begin to feel that love. And we can walk in that love knowing that I'm his. I'm his child. He's chosen me. He chose us from the beginning of the world. And his love is great. So there's no greater love than God's love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. And you know, that's kind of how I felt coming here. When I came to this church, I just was so blessed with the kindness that I felt. You all have been so wonderful and kind. And I'm just like, oh, wow. You know, and not that I haven't felt kindness before, but it's so genuine and it's so loving. And it reminds me of God's love. You didn't actually know me when I first came here, and yet you still chose to show me such love. And that's what God does for us. You know, his love, it's you can't earn it. It's unmerited. Amen. You can't earn it. And so that's kind of how I felt here. You trusted me and you brought me in and you showed me such kindness and love. And I think that's what God does to us, so that you will you'll know you don't have to earn it. I guess I keep saying that because I'm feeling it's important that you know you can't do enough good deeds to earn God's love. You already have it. You just have to walk in it, walk in his love, walking, knowing I'm loved by God. When the enemy tries to tell you, and you know, he will fill our minds with things that nobody loves me. No one cares. I have no family. I have, you know, there's just things that he'll bring. And you know, sometimes you're, especially maybe if you live alone or you don't have a big family, he'll try and tell you no one loves you, but you need to know God loves you. He loves you. Oh, so much love that God has for us, that you can sit in the quiet and you'll feel his love. You'll feel it wrapping around you. And so that's what I want to encourage you today, to receive God's love, knowing that he loves us so much. There's nothing you can do to lose his love. You can't lose his love. Even when you fail, he still loves us, and he's patient and he's kind with us, and he brings you back in when you fail. When you wander from him, he brings you back in. Like a shepherd, that example, the shepherd brings his sheep back in. God brings us back in because his love it's everlasting. He loves us and he always has. So, and there's nothing good that he'll withhold from us. So what I wanted to share today, it's just a little bit of Matthew 27 through 31. And this just talks about what Jesus went through to show God's love for us, what he took and what he had to go through. And so verse 27. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put on his own clothes. Then they led him away to crucify him. And so I read that a little fast, but I want you to get the point. That's what he took for us. He took that. He took them beating him over the head, mocking him, putting a crown of thorns on his head, the pain and the suffering he endured for us, because God loved us so much. He sent his son to take that suffering for us. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful. Can I get an amen? Aren't you grateful? Amen. That he took that for us. He endured all of that for us. And nothing can change. Nothing can change the love he has for us. So I hope I'm laying out for you how much God loves you, but he also requires that we love. And so I want to talk just a little bit about that. And that one's a little harder on our part sometimes, for that we love, because he requires a bit for us to love. So Matthew 22:36-40. And it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, let's think about that for a minute. He's telling us to love the Lord. That's pretty easy. We can love the Lord. Amen. Like I said, I have praise songs to him that I sing every day. But he's also telling us to love our neighbor. Amen. That's not always as easy. Amen. That's not always as easy to love our neighbors. But who's our neighbor, and how can we do that? How can we love our neighbor? Luke 6:35-36 kind of tells us. And it says, "But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." So he's telling us, you know, sometimes it's hard to love our enemies. It's hard, and that's, you know, that's okay. But God is telling us that we have to love them, and he's going to bless us because we do. And I know there are times when you've been really hurt, and it's really difficult to show love to that person who has hurt you. You know, sometimes it's in your family. Sometimes, you know, it's a friend who you feel like betrayed you, and it's really difficult to love them. But if we do as Jesus said and not trust him, and this was some good advice that I got, because we were years ago now, we were taking some classes on how to get over hurts, how to get over being hurt, especially by people. And the pastor told us, they said, don't trust the person. And this is how you can forgive them and love your enemy. Don't trust them. Trust God that he's going to take care of you. That even if they hurt you again, he's going to cover those wounds. He's going to love you and he's going to take care of you. It's hard. It's very difficult, I'll say. But if you trust God, we trust God that he's going to cover us and he's going to love us and that nothing that they do can harm us or hurt us. So I want to share another story as I'm coming towards the end of this. But when we were growing up, we weren't big huggers. My family, we didn't hug a lot. My mom and dad weren't big huggers and we didn't hug much. And I never thought about it. Didn't really think about it because we knew we were loved. We had great parents who took great care of us and we knew we were loved. So I didn't think about it because we didn't do it. But then our new generation came along. So the next generation, the grandchildren came along. And they were big huggers. They wanted to hug. And we were, at first, we would resist a little bit, like, oh, you know, like, oh, we don't really need to hug. You know, we love you. And, but God kept showing me, you know, the hug's not just for them. The hug is for you too. Receive that love. And that's what I want to get into you today. That's the point I really want to make. Receive that love of God. And sure enough, now my granddaughter is a big old hugger and she hugs me all the time. And I love it and receive that love from her and receive those hugs from her. And that's what we have to do from God. We have to receive his love, receive that love from him. And then we have to love our neighbor. And you know, who's your neighbor? It's your family. It's your friends. It's your actual neighbor, the person that lives next door to you possibly, or in your neighborhood. We have to show love to them like God shows love to us. But first we need to receive God's love and know we're worthy of the love of God. We're worthy of it. Why? Because he loves us. Amen. We already have it. Why are we worthy? We didn't have to earn it. He loves us. So receive that love and walk in that love, the love of God. Now, John 4:21, and this is an important one, I think, as far as love is concerned. John 4:21 says, and he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. And so that's another, we have to love our neighbor. We have to love each other. He's commanding us. And there's a scripture that says, how can you say you love me, but you don't love your brother? And I'm just paraphrasing it. But so how can you say you love me or say you love God, but you don't love me? That's the point I want to get across. How can you say you love God? Oh, I love God. He's wonderful. But then you hate your neighbor. Then you hate those who don't think the same way you think. You can't. If you love God, you've got to love me, whether I think the same way you think, whether I believe the same way you believe. God, we're all God's children. So we have to remember, he says, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and their sister. And that's regardless of who they are, or they're different than you. They think different than you. Their life is different. We have to love them because God has commanded us to love. That's one of the greatest commandments. And that brings me to my final scripture for today, which is a powerful one, in my opinion. It's 1 Corinthians 13, and it's verses 1 through 7, and then verse 13. And it says, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then verse 13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So as I come to a close on this sermon, I want to again just restate how important it is that we receive God's love for us, knowing that we don't have to work for it. It's unconditional. There's nothing you can do that he'll take it away. And there's nothing you can do to earn it. He just loves you, kind of like you do your grandchildren. Amen. Kind of like you do your grandchildren or your children. He just loves us. And we need to receive that love and know. And then in return, we need to give that love. Give it out to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors. Give that love. Be out in the street telling people God loves them. Not necessarily in the street, but when you go places, be out and tell people God loves them. Show his love to people. And so with that being said, I want to pray today for those in need of God's love. We have many distresses, and today I think we just need a big dose of God's love. So if you will pray with me, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God. We thank you for this time of worship and this time of preaching. And God, we're asking that you touch those, God, who are in need of your love today. Open up their hearts, God, to receive your love, to receive it from you, God, to receive it from their neighbor, to receive it from their family. We thank you, God, for your great love. And we thank you, you're filling us with love, God, that we may go out, God, and show your love to our community. We give you, God, all the praise, honor, and glory. And then while we're praying, we pray, God, for those who are in need of a healing. Let your healing virtues flow throughout this sanctuary. Let your healing virtues flow, God, to each body that is in need of a healing from you. And we thank you for it, God. We give you all of the praise, all of the honor, and all of the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.